Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Koops will bring a message titled, The Anointed One, Prophet, Priest, and King, from Scripture found in John chapter 4, verses 13 through 26. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Good morning and welcome to all who have gathered in God's house to worship and praise the living God. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Messiah, our Deliverer. He alone is worthy of our praise, and that's why we have come to lift up His name and to celebrate who He is and what He has done in our lives, the freedom that is ours, because we belong to Him. If you're visiting with us today, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. We hope that you're just blessed through the service, that you feel warmth and hospitality and feel that you're really welcome, and that it also feeds your souls as we lift up the name of Jesus together. And then we invite you also to stay for a time of fellowship after the service. And there's a guest book just outside of those doors. If you'd be kind enough to sign that, we would appreciate it. And then normally we have our coffee and cookies right in that narthex, but this morning we also have the congregational meeting. And so that, of course, adds excitement. And so we invite all of you to come downstairs for our congregational meeting. I want to just emphasize, you do not have to be a member to come to the congregational meeting. This is your place where you come to worship. You're welcome to come to the meeting and just learn what's going on. And you're even welcome to participate. You can't vote, but you can talk. And so we invite you to stay. And I heard that we're having Costco cake, if that helps to bring you down. If stairs are a problem, there is a lift right in that corner that'll take you right down there. But just want you to know you're really welcome. Would like you to stay for that. And it's a special time. It's our annual meeting once a year. And then we also greet all those who join us via Jethro Radio, our Jethro.fm that's on the internet. And now we're on YouTube, so we're really getting fancy. And we also got CDs. And I know some people are joining us even in their vehicles on Sunday morning. And so we greet them. I hope you're blessed through this service. But to all who hear it through some electronic means, if you're able to join us in person, consider this your personal invitation to come and be part of our church family here. We meet live time at 9:30 Sunday mornings right by Clyde Park and Burton. And I feel really safe to say this. If you come to visit, I don't think you'll be disappointed. And I trust you would want to come back. So that's your invitation, and we would love to meet you. Hear our call to worship. The Lord Jesus, who calls us to worship Him today, is the same Jesus who refused the temptation to worship the devil in the wilderness. Rather than receive the glorious kingdoms of this world, He endured the shame of the cross, and today is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Now are gathered in Him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, glory and power. With the saints of all ages we say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth, wisdom and strength, honor, glory, and praise. Yes, let's praise Him by standing to sing number 817, Our Great Savior. We'll sing 1, 2, 3, and 5. Standing to sing.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Hallelujah, what a Savior. There's nothing we can add to that. What a Savior. And that's why we have come, to praise you, to worship you, to glorify you, to humble ourselves before you, to lift up your name, because you alone are worthy. Thank you that you have claimed us as your children and have moved our hearts in such a way that we want to be here, that we want to do this, and that this also gives us joy, gives us contentment, gives us peace. And we know that all of these things happen through the working of the Holy Spirit and our prayers that He is here with us, making all of this meaningful to us, but that it also rises as a sweet aroma into your heavenly throne room, and that you too are blessed through it. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, it's a real special moment because it's the debut of our new quartet. And so I invite Keith and Tim and Sharon and Steve to come at this time.
Stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. The things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remembered there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go and sing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me. Thank you. I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I'm telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, oh, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. The Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified truly through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I have hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe, riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Thank you, Steve, and Tim, and Sharon, and Keith, and Paul for accompanying them. And is there anything better than just singing praise to our Lord and Savior and what he's done for us? And actually, that's the only reason we really have to sing, is because of who he is and what he's done. As we come before our God with our congregational prayer, I just want to go over a couple of things in our church family. One, Irene Andre, you know, she spent almost 2 weeks now at the Oaks in Jamestown, is doing quite well, kind of has an indomitable spirit and has worked hard. And she told me Friday, she says, I've passed everything, and they said I can go home Tuesday. And she clarified her own home, not somebody else's, and she's pretty excited about that. She also thanks you for your prayers and words of encouragement. And then we want to remember Marty Reimersma's son-in-law, Tim C. Tough week for Tim and his wife. He was diagnosed with both lung cancer and pancreatic cancer. And so that's just a horrible diagnosis. And so we want to remember Tim and his wife during this time as they look at what's the treatment going to be, how to proceed, what to do. And then just got a text this morning from Betty Holmes that she's back at St. Mary's Hospital, just really struggling, dealing with lots of breathing problems, things affecting her heart, her lungs. They're scheduling her for a nuclear stress test, and she's always very appreciative of you, her church family. She's only been here once. But she just feels really connected and so aware of you upholding her in prayer, as well as the cards and the calls. And so she always tells me, be sure you tell the folks. I'm very, very appreciative. And then I just talked to Debbie and Rick Miller this morning, and they have a granddaughter, Jolene, age 8, and they just found out this week as they diagnosed that she's completely deaf in her left ear. And so looking at now what kind of treatment, what this means, how to proceed. But that's a lot to deal with for an 8-year-old. So we want to remember her and her parents as well as the grandparents during this time. And then we extend our condolence to the Bernie Wing family. Bernie passed away yesterday morning. She was at the Oaks on Byron Center. And I saw her yet Friday afternoon, and she said, she was ready to go to see Jesus. And yesterday morning, the Lord took her home and she's receiving her heavenly reward. I know it was always hard for Bernie not to be here, not to be part of church family activities, the life of the church. But I think she's experiencing things now that she probably has no desire to come back either. But we want to remember her daughter Rhonda and the family in prayer during this time. All arrangements are pending, should know by tomorrow evening, and we'll have them on the prayer chain. You can always call the church office. I see Mary Lee and Tim are here today, so Mary Lee will field your calls on Tuesday and Wednesday, and have the details about when that will be. Let's come before our Heavenly Father with our congregational prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, what an amazing Father you are. You are our Creator, you are our Redeemer, all through the mystery of the Trinity. The Trinity that also sustains us. And so we worship and praise you for the gift of the Son, who is Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, our Deliverer. Jesus, you and you alone can forgive our sins because you were that perfect sacrifice on the cross. Our prayer is that we're always covered in your blood and that we're made as clean and white as the driven snow. And so we worship you and praise you and we thank you for the gift of redemption, to be redeemed. What a gift faith is, to know these things and to know that they are true and to have surrendered to you, responding with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we pray, Father, for those for whom this is not a reality. And we also want to acknowledge and celebrate the joy it brings when ones that are dear to us come to a place where they surrender their lives to your Lordship and accept you as their Savior. Because we depend on you for everything, we come to you with request, with thanksgiving, and with worship. And so this morning we pray for all those dealing with ailments, and we pray for Tim C. and his family, Father, and the extended family as they're processing this horrible diagnosis, and that you would give them wisdom. And Father, we always come to you because you're also our Creator and the great physician. We just pray for, Father, our first prayer would be that you would intervene, that there might be a healing. And we always pray for your strength for the journey. We pray for Betty Holmes, what a hard road she has walked for many years. And Father, you keep blessing her with a good spirit and a good attitude. She sees your hand in her lives, in her life, and praises you for what she has. And I pray that you surround her with your peace and your presence even this morning. We pray for Tina Schaefer, Amber Olson, for Rick Boom, for Floyd, for Helen, for Mary Westerling, Phil Dornbus. We pray for Jolene as she's dealing, a little girl just dealing with this diagnosis about her hearing. We pray for Heath Misiak, Kim Wiegers, Glenn Bartman, Renee, Joanne Emus, Arvilla DeVries, Michelle Strading, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Mary and Jerry Lawschutz, Tootie Calamine, Ron and Barb Engels, Larry Rudnick, Darlene Somhowowitz. And then, Father, we think of just others who are dealing with things. There's stuff already on the calendar for this week. Appointments have been scheduled, a diagnosis to be looked at, consultations to be had, wondering maybe what the week holds. What's going to come out of this? What do we do with it? We come to you because you already know the end from the beginning, and you have promised that you would surround us with the peace of your presence, even when the road is hard. And then, Father, we know there's lots of people just dealing with colds and flus and all this other stuff going around. We pray for your grace, your intervention, and that you would restore and renew and be with all of those folks. And then as we pray for all these health needs, we think of people that are just struggling with in the cold weather, finding a place of shelter, for people struggling with housing, paying the bills, be it the heat, the electric, just those challenges of everyday life that can make it hard and put us on edge, create lots of stress. And so we pray for emotional health. We pray for Connie dealing with anxiety and others dealing with depression and Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, a host of things. There's no shortage of brokenness in this world. We know that's why you came. There's nothing we can do on our own. We needed a deliverer. We thank you, too, for relationships. Relationships can be such a joy, and they can be such a challenge. And we pray, Father, that you help us to do it well, relationships within our own family circle, and then also in our church family. We are called to love each other, to support each other, to be kind and encouraging to one another. And Father, you don't give us these things as just suggestions or if it's convenient or if it works out. These really are mandates. When we call ourselves Christians, the onus falls on us. We want to remember the prisoners, those who are have lost their freedom for whatever reason. Our prayer is always that they would find their freedom in you, even if they are still in a physical prison. And Father, we know there's lots of people that are not in a physical prison, but are prisoners of everything that Satan offers. That at first is appealing and enticing, but in the end it traps us and we're in bondage. So we pray for freedom. Father, we ask your blessing on our shut-ins, and this morning we pray for Lorna Bordewijk and her family, and we pray for Don Winalda and his family, and we say a special prayer for Judy, too, as she just supports, encourages, stands beside her husband, gives him what he stands in need of, and Father, what's also been a long road for them, and your grace has sustained them, and we give you the thanks. We pray for those in hospice care, and this morning we remember Carol Cucci's in this season and stage of life, and we pray for Carol, we pray for her husband, we pray for her family. And then we remember all those who are grieving, and we ask for special strength for the Bernie Wings family at this time. We thank you for Bernie, we thank you for her life, her testimony. She knew she belonged to you. She had great joy about that. She loved being at church. And Father, we celebrate her going home, even as we pray now for strength for all who will really miss her. We know there's many people grieving. Death is never natural. It's never normal. We weren't created to die, so it's always painful. So, Father, will you comfort, strengthen, and uphold? Remind us often that our hope is in you because you're the resurrection and the life. And we know that sometimes the losses are just real recent and everything's still raw and fresh. But sometimes it's from years ago, but the pain is still real. Today we pray for our president and all who serve with him. And we ask for real wisdom, Father, in these folks that are doing different things and trying to negotiate peace, be it in the Middle East and between Russia and the Ukraine. And then we know there's so many other hot spots around the globe we don't even think about. Lord, would you lead, guide, and direct? Our heart goes out to people who have never known a day of peace, who have never known a place that they really called home because they live in refugee camps. For some who are always on the move, always in transition. Some who have never known a day where there wasn't war. And then all we can do is pray that you would come quickly and rule in all your fullness as the Prince of Peace. We're thankful for our servicemen and women, as well as all the first responders, and we thank you for their families, and we ask for lots of grace, strength, and equipping for them, for physical needs, but also the emotional and what they deal with, the stuff we often call PTSD. Would you sustain them? And then we pray for our brothers and sisters around the globe as they worship you. And Lord, we know that many suffer and are persecuted for doing the very thing that we are doing this morning. Our prayer is that you would help them remain faithful. Your word says that you will give, through the power of your Spirit, the words for them to speak at their time of trial. And we often read their main prayer is that they wouldn't deny you. And that's our prayer for them. We pray that for ourselves. We who have a much easier place to profess Jesus as Lord, may we also not deny you. And then, Father, we pray for your blessing on Jeff and Chelsea Lamper as they co-pastor Relish and as they support and encourage others. Thank you for 8th Reformed Church, for your presence at the consistory meeting last Monday. We ask the same for this morning's congregational meeting. As a church, may we also be grounded in the truth of your word and a place of light and hope in a dark world. And Holy Spirit, as we study the word, may the titles of Jesus inspire, thrill, and strengthen us in a new and rich way. Jesus, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Messiah, our Deliverer, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 104, verses 1, 2, and 5. 104, 1, 2, and 5, O worship the King. As we prepare to read the scripture, I invite you to also take the insert out of your bulletin, because the first thing we're going to read is question and answer 31 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And then we'll turn to our scripture reading, and that's on page 1515 in the Pew Bible. Question and answer 31. We'll go to 32 later, so keep it handy, this little sheet. Why is he called Christ, meaning anointed? Because he has been ordained by God the Father and has been anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, who perfectly reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God for our deliverance. Our only high priest, who has set us free by the one sacrifice of his body, and who continually pleads our cause with the Father and our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, who guards us and keeps us in the freedom he has won for us. And now we'll turn to John chapter 4, verse 13 is where we'll start reading. It's a little bit in the middle of the story. This is Jesus and his disciples. They're on their way up to Galilee. They, instead of walking around Samaria, they went through Samaria. And this is the woman at the well. That's the story. And Jesus had been talking to her. The disciples went into town, and he's offering her water. And she says, well, how do you get this water? And so right at this, where we pick up, Jesus is offering her water, and she says, you don't have anything to even draw with, and this is Jacob's well, and so they get into the whole discussion. Verse 13, chapter 4 of John. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water, that's the water from the physical well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband, come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Dear congregation, we know her as the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. The woman with five husbands, and the one she's living with now isn't her husband. The one intrigued by this Jewish rabbi and how he spoke to her. And when he tells her details about her own life, she is astute to know. She's astute enough to know he is no ordinary person. And she proclaims, I can see you are a prophet. The light went on for her. This passage is an informative passage in John 4. It really tells us a lot more about Jesus than it does about the Samaritan woman. In this passage, we learn more about the name and roles of Jesus, and it really builds on what we studied last Sunday when we focused really on his name, Jesus. So we're going to learn more about who Jesus really is and what he does. You could title it Names and Roles. Our names identify us. Our identity tells us a little bit about what we do. You know, Leroy the truck driver, Megan the teacher, Paul the organist. Last week, we talked about Jesus, God's only Son, our Lord. And in the Apostles' Creed, we recite this when we recite Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. And you know, we're so familiar with it, and we say it so quickly and so easily that I think that so often we don't really realize the significance and the weightiness of what we are saying when we recite these things. Little historical review. When the angel spoke to Joseph, this is before Jesus was born, he said, "You will give him the name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." And then last week, as we were talking about the name Jesus, we looked at Acts 4:12. That was really our key verse in the whole passage. And it says, "Salvation is found in no one else. There is no name, no name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." It again emphasizes the significance of this name. He alone can save us. And that was the primary reason he came, to save us from our sins. We needed to be saved, and we couldn't do it ourselves, and there was nothing else that could do it. But there's even more to his name. There's more to his name. This Jesus is Jesus the Christ. That adds a lot yet to that name, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. And you know what? They actually all mean the same thing. The Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. And we already learn in Matthew 3:16-17, okay? This is where Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. And it's not the type of baptism that we think of. Okay, John did baptism for a remission of sins, a cleansing. The Old Testament people did that already since the days in Babylon. It wasn't a baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people say to me, well, Jesus was baptized. Not really. John's baptism is much different than when the baptism is instituted later on in the passage. But in Matthew 3:16-17, Jesus is the Anointed One, anointed by the Heavenly Father. I mean, you can't get any higher credentials than that. And this is what it says. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That's quite an anointing. That's quite an anointing to have that voice from heaven. Now, in the Old Testament, oil was used for the anointing, but the oil really represented the Holy Spirit. It was symbolic. It represented the Holy Spirit. But this time with Jesus, the Spirit himself comes down in the form of a dove, anointing Jesus as the Messiah. Anointing Jesus as the Messiah. Now, the title Messiah also means deliverer. The Jew in that day was desperately looking for a deliverer. But he wasn't really looking for a deliverer from sin. He was looking for a deliverer from oppression, from the hated Romans. They were waiting, this deliverer, they were waiting for the Son of David to sit on the throne, to restore the earthly kingdom, to usher in the golden age for Israel. And so, going back to our reading at John 4, what we just read, the woman said, "I know that Messiah." Okay, she knew her scriptures. She was a Samaritan, but she knew her scriptures. "I know that Messiah, called Christ," in other words, the deliverer, "is coming." She knew that. She was waiting for that. This deliverer, another name for that would be this king, would also be a prophet. In verse 25, she says, "When he comes, he'll explain everything to us." This king will also be a prophet. And then Jesus says to her, I am he. Can you imagine what that moment was like for her? Here she just thought, kind of like a kind of a radical Jewish man talking to her. He shouldn't even be doing that to begin with. And then he says to her, I am he, the one talking to you. I am he. Here Jesus is in Samaria confirming to a Samaritan woman that he is the Messiah. I think that's an amazing story, that he confirms that to a Samaritan, that he is the Messiah, the deliverer. And this is really early on in his ministry. It's only in chapter 4 of John. Now, we have more confirmation of this important message. And it's important to look at this, to understand it, to see the significance of the one that we worship. And so we look at Matthew 16:16, and this is that whole story. It's before the Mount of Transfiguration story. And Jesus asked his disciples, says, well, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some Old Testament prophet. Then he says, who do you say that I am? And you know, that's a key question. It was for them, and it is for us. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, the spokesman for the group, says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonas. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but this was given to you by my Father in heaven. Just Jesus' response speaks to how significant and how important this is. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the anointed one, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the deliverer. How important is this? Maybe you think, oh, Pastor, you're pretty excited this morning. That's pretty cool that you feel that way. We've heard this before. No, this is really important. I'll tell you how important. In 1 John 2:22, it asks this question. Who is the liar? Who is the liar? And the answer, whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. That's how important this is. We live in a world that just compromises truth left and right. And this is the answer. Who is the liar? Whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus himself teaches elsewhere, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Matter of fact, in this passage in John, it goes on, it says, whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, such a person is the Antichrist. That's how important this is, how critically important. There cannot be any compromise on this in any way. No one may deny this fact. Now, grammatically, you understand that doesn't mean nobody can't deny it. But when it says no one may deny it, that means when you deny this, you deny it at your own peril. If you deny that Jesus is the Christ. For the Christian, this is an absolute truth. Absolute truth. It was ordained by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and even that experience tells us the unity and the harmony within the Trinity. They were all present, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They said, we're all in this together. And we're anointing the Son for a special mission. So what does this translate to? Little bit of the so what question. What's it translate to? Well, this Messiah is our deliverer. He is our prophet. He is our priest. And he is our king. Yes, the name of Jesus has many, many roles. He is our prophet. He reveals the will of God to us for our salvation. He is our priest. He is our high priest. He sacrificed himself in our place and now resides at the right hand of God the Father. What a blessing that is that he does that, because he is interceding on our behalf to the Father. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, but it gives us access to our Heavenly Father, the one we're allowed to call Abba. He reveals the will of God to us. And then the amazing thing is, not only does he reveal it to us, he carried it out for us. You know, when he hung on the cross, he hung there in my place, and he hung there in your place. But we could have hung there for all of eternity, and it would not have given us eternal life in heaven. That's why he's the amazing sacrifice. He is the Jesus, as the incarnational God, is the only one that could be our deliverer. And we just read that in the catechism too. Jesus is our eternal King. He governs us. He guards us. He keeps us in his freedom and care. So why do we worship him? Why do we come and do this on a regular basis? Why don't we just do it twice a year, Christmas and Easter? We're kind of busy people anyway, and there's a lot of other stuff we could do. In a morning like this, it wouldn't be bad to sleep in. Because he is our prophet, he's our priest, and he is our King. He is our deliverer. That's why we do this. Now, in the Old Testament, God, and just want to go over a little bit of this because it shows the continuity and the connectedness between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In the Old Testament, God related to his people through three roles. These were played out by humans under the inspiration by God if they were faithful, but it was the prophet, priest, and king. And you know the prophets. It was like Samuel. It was like Isaiah, Jeremiah. Okay, they were the prophets. They related to the people. They spoke to the people on behalf of God. They're the ones that said, "Thus saith the Lord." The Old Testament prophets. And then there were the priests. And the priest, the most famous, of course, was Aaron. He started that whole lineage from the tribe of Levi. But what did the priests do? They brought the people to God through sacrifice and through prayers. And then in the Old Testament, we had the kings. The first one was King Saul, and then there was David, Solomon, good King Hezekiah, and a king who would rule over the people on behalf of God. And now we get to the New Testament. The New Testament, another name for that would be the New Covenant. And under the New Covenant, all three of these offices are filled by Jesus. That's why when we talk about Jesus, we say he is our all in all. There's nothing we can add to it. There's nothing we can bring. I'm reminded of that every time we have communion in a real tangible way, because Jesus is the host. He's the one that invites us. He's the one who says, "Come, for all things are now ready." And then we come to the table, and he's the elements. It's his body, his blood. There's nothing we can bring. All we can do is worship and bring a contrite heart. So Jesus fills all these offices, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. Now in Acts 3:23, the apostle Peter teaches this. He says, the Christ, this is right after the Pentecost, in the Pentecost story, the Christ was the prophet. Listen closely. The Christ was the prophet announced by Moses. Did you know that? Moses already foretold that there was a prophet coming, one greater than Moses. That's why Jesus elsewhere says, yes, one greater than Moses is here, because that is him. And so Peter's teaching says, anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. What Jesus teaches, we need to listen to. Yes, Jesus the prophet makes God the Father known to us. In John, Jesus teaches, if you know me, you know the Father. He's our access to the Father. Now, Jesus is our high priest. He did not offer any lambs for sacrifice, and that's why he is called the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he brings us to the Father through his sacrifice on the cross. And through this perfect sacrifice, he becomes our Lord. And in becoming our Lord, that means that he is the one who rules over us forever. In other words, he is our king, our prophet, our priest, and our king. Philippians 2, 8 and 11, those verses underscore this. And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, because he did this on the cross, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this is true in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And it's all to the glory of God our Father. This is the Jesus we come to worship. So, what does it mean to be a Christian, a Christ follower? Just turn with me to your insert and we'll look at question and answer 32. So the question is, but why are you called a Christian? Because by faith, I'm a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointing. I'm anointed to confess his name, to present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for all of eternity. There's a lot connected to being a Christian. Lack of a better example, it would be like if you bought a new car, but you never started it, and you just had people kind of pushing you around. And it's like, boy, this is a pretty nice ride. And somebody finally comes and says, no, start the thing. Look what it'll really do. That's where I think we often live. We don't realize what's all given to us through Jesus. And so we live as paupers. But we belong to the King. And so the Catechism teaches, based on Scripture, that when I belong to Christ, I also share in his anointing. And Romans 8 and 9 tells us about that too. This anointing is the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think just the Pentecostals got the Spirit. That's not true. They might handle it a lot better than we do. But we too have the Spirit. Sometimes I think Reformed people are scared of the Spirit because you never know who's going to take you. And we kind of like to be in control. But we too, when we belong to Jesus, we're anointed by the Spirit. When we become new creatures in Christ, the Spirit enters our lives. 1 John 20, 2:20 says, we learn that we have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. What's the benefit of it? So that we can know truth. And this is really a favorite pony of mine, I have to be honest, because we live in a world that compromises truth over and over and over and over. And we just go along with it all. But the Scriptures tell us, no, when you've been anointed, you know what truth is. You have a spirit of discernment. Stand up and defend it. So in this capacity, we are called to be prophets. Remember, we just read, we too are anointed to be prophets, priests, and kings. And so we're anointed to be prophets to speak truth to a broken world. We are people of the Word. We are called to share the Word and then encourage and engage our culture. And not be afraid to do that. We are called to confess his name before others. We are priests. We are called to live lives that are a living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 puts it this way. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. This is true and proper worship. And finally, we are promised to reign with Christ over all of creation for all of eternity. Jesus already speaks of this in Matthew 25. It's the end time passages. And then King Jesus will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance." What's our inheritance? Listen, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. The kingdom prepared for you. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, "If we endure, we also will reign with him." Prophet, priest, and king. It's part of our ordination too. So now I want to go back to John chapter 4 for just a moment. I want to see what happens when the reality of this touches our hearts. If you're looking in your pew Bible, it's page 1515, verse 28. "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Messiah?'" Verse 30, "They came out of town and made their way toward him." Verse 39, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony." What was her testimony? "He told me everything I ever did." "So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world, the Messiah.'" You know what? That woman is a beautiful example of go and tell. She had good news, and she had to share it. Go and tell. So in conclusion, don't forget you're a Christian. Don't forget, you have a name, but you also have a title. You are a Christian. Don't forget, you're anointed. Don't forget, you have the privilege, a job to do in the kingdom of heaven as a prophet, a priest, and a future king. Behold, the one who is the Christ is also our Messiah, is also our King. And one day he'll return in all his majesty. And I want to share that with you out of Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. John writing, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes like blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. His name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepresses of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." This is the one we call Jesus, the Christ, our deliverer. Father, we come to you. These are amazing, amazing revelations. When we really look at them, they exhaust us. And all we can really say is how great thou art. To think of how you humbled yourself to dwell amongst us, to be one of us. But that in reality, you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Keep us humble before you. Keep us humble before you. And Father, help us to surrender everything that we have to your Lordship. That you are Lord over all. And that we would also realize how important it is to worship you and to set everything else aside so that your name and your name alone is lifted up. Because worthy is the Lamb. the one in whose name we pray. Amen. We'll continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 105, We Will Glorify, a fitting response. We will glorify. You may be seated. Someday we'll sing that in His very presence. What a day of rejoicing that will be. At this time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Father, we come to you, and there's lots of gratitude and thanksgiving in our heart for who you are and what you've done all through Jesus, the prophet, priest, and king, the anointed one, our Messiah, our deliverer. Thank you for all the blessings that are ours, including that you will watch over us in our coming and going, both now and forevermore, and that gives us security and peace in this life and for the next. Thank you for all the things that you have entrusted to us to be stewards over, and may we be faithful. May that also be reflected in our giving, and then will you give wisdom to our deacons in how those funds are used. But may it glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. After the benediction, we'll sing number 10, Majesty. Receive God's parting blessing. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. If you'd like a CD of one of our services, call the church office during the week at 616-452-9417, and we'll be happy to send you one free of charge. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in his care.